Acquisition number 12096, reel 4.
Mr. David Craig, reel 4. So that was the Eastern Prince.
That's right.
Wayne Mitchell did the trooping.
Yeah.
How did the troops behave aboard ship?
Well, very well. We used to carry army personnel, of course, and we carried naval personnel and air force personnel and nursing personnel, Queen Alexandria nursing sisters. We carried a lot of them. A lot of these boys we were taking down to West Africa were going to train in jungle warfare before they went out to Burma, you see. And that was a nice run. I enjoyed that. It was quite a pleasant run. We had no problems. We had first-class passengers as well. I always remember a funny incident, and forgive me telling the funny incidents, but to me they're more amusing than the other ones. We had, being a passenger liner, there was a lot of lifeboats, you see, and we used to go to boat drill, and all the officers had a lifeboat. Sometimes some of them didn't know much about lifeboats, but in my lifeboat, I had the ship's carpenter. He was a shipwright, and of course, being Merchant Navy, as you say now, Chippy, you know more about boats than I do, even though I'd been a cadet on deck, but give the man his place. So he said, you do the drill this time, I'll just watch you. But we had some children who wouldn't put their life jackets on once, and we were trying to humour them into putting their life jackets on, but oh no, they wouldn't put their life jackets on. We said, well, you go to boat drill, you've got to put your life jackets on. However, we were coming up to the south of Ireland, not so very far from Cork, and we set up a magnetic mine. It blew up, you know, not close to the ship, maybe half a mile away. Whoa, up in the air. We had no trouble about getting life jackets on after that. Everybody put their life jackets on. I think the bang had done them good, you know. But with no danger, no. That by that time, the war was finished, I think, when I was in that. The European war was finished, not the Japanese war. But out in the Japanese war, well, I saw very little. I was trading out in the Indian Ocean. I used to go from Mauritius up to all over the place, Mauritius and Aden and down the Straits of Malacca, the Mozambique Channel, and Karachi, Bombay, Karachi, Aden, Mauritius. Where else did we go to? All around that area. And the Japs were a bit in that area, you know, but we were independent ships. There was no convoys at that time. But I used to get radio traffic. I mean, I've heard ships getting attacked, ships getting sunk over the other side of India, over in the Lakshadweep and Maldives side. But the side we were, the Indian Ocean we were on, was really quite safe. And the people in Mauritius, again, were very good to us because they had seen ships torpedoed just approaching Port Louis Harbour, you know. And, they laid on trips around the island and whatnot for us. They treated us extremely well in Mauritius there.
This ship, the Empire Falcon, what was that and what do you
think? She was one of the ugliest ships I ever sailed on. She was an American ship built at the end of the last war. And she was purely a tramp, as we call her, a tramp steamer, you see. We used to say they built them up at a place called Hog Island near Philadelphia. And we used to say they built them by the mile and cut them off whatever length they wanted. You know, they were the ugliest looking ships in creation. But the accommodation was pretty good. But we just were tramping, really. Anywhere, we'd go anywhere in the world. What did we do? We went to Mauritius for sugar. We took UNRWA supplies up to Salonika after the Germans got out. And we were in Haifa. We were in Beirut in Syria. And by the way, when we were in Beirut in Syria, the French and the Syrians were fighting. That's a long time ago, and they're still fighting. Well, I don't know who's fighting now, but it's the different factions are fighting among themselves. But it was strange, you know, we were down in Haifa, and Haifa at that time, the Jews and the Arabs were fighting. And of course, British sailors, we were getting caught in between the two of them, you know, it wasn't our fight. So after we got out of there, a few months later, we turned up in Beirut. And we got to Beirut, and by Jove, the French and the Syrians were fighting. And we said, hey, what have we done? We're always in the middle of somebody else's war. It's not our problem. But I enjoyed my time in Beirut. I had my 21st birthday. I had my 21st birthday in Beirut, and I was half dead with dysentery. I remember getting a wire from people at home wishing me all the best. I could hardly lift my head off my bunk. That was just a part of the job. You had to take it.
But by this time, presumably in 44, 45, there was little...
Oh, there was little action, no. The action was passed, actually, if I remember rightly. When was it the war finished?
May 45.
May 45. Well, there was really nothing happening. No, it was quite safe, you know. It was well into Europe by that time, and all the seas were, I would say, safe. I mean, the Atlantic, there were still U-boats, because there were ships, there was merchant ships sunk in the last day of the war, you'd hardly believe it. But by and large, you know, running through the Mediterranean, down the Red Sea, out in the Indian Ocean, the worst of it was past. It was the early years. I was maybe fortunate. I was ashore. I've been very fortunate. I was ashore at Wireless College, I think, at the worst time in 42. You know, when the big sinkings were going on.
Could I ask you one final question, perhaps, about the attitude of people like yourself in the Merchant Navy towards the U-boat crews that were sinking the ships? Did you hate them or not?
Well, there was no love lost. I mean, it was... You see, war is a vicious business. It comes to, you know, people have asked me that question before. I have no desire to kill anybody, but the question is, you get yourself in a position where you either kill or you are killed. I mean, I had a second mate who was sailing along independently, and a U-boat popped up off his port bow, which is a thing that doesn't happen very often. It came to the surface just off his port bow. Well, the second mate altered course, and he rang the alarm bells, and he hit the sub fair and square, and he was rumbling over the top of it when the old man, the captain, came up from his cabin onto the bridge. Well, they sank the U-boat, and I mean, the crew would be lost because she went right down. I mean, nobody got off her. She rolled her over. The big merchant ship, you know, they can do an awful lot of damage. And it rolled the U-boat right over, and she went down, you see, and all hands would go with her. I don't know how you could say it was them or us. I mean, it's no... Well, no, I mean, I often say to people, I say, look, if I'd been born in Bremen, I would probably have been a very good U-boat man. I'm a sailor. And if that was the way it was, I happened to be born in Scotland, and I reckon to think I was a good sailor because I sailed for my own country. But it's a horrid thing, war. I mean, I know the first time I went north, I'd been through a naval gunnery school, and gunnery to me was a mathematical calculation. If your angle of approach and your aim off and your estimate the speed of the plane was correct, your shells, I mean, you're always firing ahead of the plane, you know, you don't fire at the plane, your shells go behind it. Your shell would arrive in the same place as the plane at the correct time, and it was a mathematical calculation, and down would come the plane. But the point was, after you've seen a few of your mates wounded or killed, I had quite a few killed, you began to hate and spite yourself. I never ever saw any case of German planes shooting up survivors or anything like that. There was no quarter given and none asked. I mean, if we hit a plane when we were up in the Kola Inlet there, you kept firing at it till it hit the sea. And it was the same if they bombed a ship. They didn't stop when they saw the crew taking off. They carried on bombing until she sank. There was no quarter asked for and none given. It's sad to say that, you know. But there's certainly an awful lot of things written and said about war and things like that, but it's not a position, it's not a thing you put yourself in. Well, I mean, I was a volunteer, I went to sea, I wanted to be a sailor, and I was a sailor. But it's a question of, you want to survive, see? And that is the final thing. You want to get home to your folks or your girlfriend or your wife or whatever it is, and you're not going to let anybody stand in the way. And if anybody, it's the same with these Russian convoys. I mean, the Germans said that we would never get through. Well, we had to fight our way through. Unfortunately, the Navy was very good at that, and we happened to go with them. People sometimes forget that when they came out to attack the convoys, the main target was the merchant ships, because we had the supplies that were going to Russia. But as I say, I have great respect for the Navy. We times were rubbed each other the wrong way. But I would say it was a good-natured rivalry in a way, you know, because there's no way any of us could have done without the other one. We all helped each other, and we all worked together. And I have a lot of good friends in the club, the Russian Convoy Club and the North Russia Club, a lot of naval fellas in it. And as far as that, we're all together, we're all sailors, and that's all that matters, you see.